suck you, Scott. You give me 2 weeks, I'm gonna be just as jacked. Look at those guns, dude! My God, that's like Hogan. Look at those pythons. Holy cow!
I'm just going. I guess. Oh yeah, we're getting that shot. We're zooming in.
There it is.
There's the thumbnail.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. There it is. Well, now that you guys are all good and turned on, let's go.
Let's do it, man. Ready to
spicy.
Go.
Very all right, Scott, rough. You want to give us an intro or you want me to do it?
I can do it.
Okay, and then just throw it to me for the news. Let's do it.
All right. What's up, everyone? It's time for another Bad Kid Dad podcast. We are joined by, once again, Chase.
Hey-o.
And our good friend and special guest and view getter, Coltrane. Our highest podcast with Coltrane. So we were like, you know what? Let's call him again. See if we'll come back.
Right. This time, but maybe he'll use the right microphone this time. Yeah. My goodness. Sorry about that.
But we're going to once again talk about news, what's pissing us off, what we're playing, what we're excited about. So let's get started. You guys ready?
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Let's roll.
All right, guys, let's get started with some news.
Chest pass.
The first thing is, this one kind of caught me off guard. I am not a big survival game player, but I have some buddies who showed me Ark Survival Ascended. Is that the new one? Am I getting that right? Yes. Yep. And so basically what happened was they took the current Ark Survival game, and there was an upgrade from, I'm assuming, Unreal Engine 4 into Unreal 5, and man, just the first time I saw it, I was kind of blown away. Like, I think UE5 is just going to, man, it's going to be crazy for especially MMOs, which is what I'm excited about. But it actually made me think of like, hey, maybe I should jump in this game and check it out. And I don't even like these games just because it looks so cool. But do any of you guys have experience with the Ark Survival franchise?
I do big time, but it's super nerdy. Like, outrageously nerdy.
What do you, like, role play as a dinosaur? What
I role played as Game of Thrones.
Like Petrie from Land Before Time.
Yes. I was on one of those role play servers that they have. You know, like GTA? You know how they have these role play servers on Grand Theft Auto?
Do they really?
Yes, they do.
I did not know that.
These?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
They're amazing. They're amazing. Yeah.
Dude, and why am I on a gaming show? I mean...
Right, it's unbelievable.
Every time I'm like, I didn't know this.
You're like, what?
Yes, in fact, these roleplay servers have really kept GTA going on Twitch. It's had a lot of presence. If you type in Grand Theft Auto Online 5 in Twitch, the majority of the stuff you're going to see is all roleplay servers. So in Ark, they had something very similar, and this was a Game of Thrones roleplay server. Yes, and I was a member of the Watch. I was a crow. Yes, and they had these devs, and they built this map, and they actually built like an ice wall and everything. Like it was unbelievable. So it was a great server, great time. But the thing that I loved about Ark was, talk about immersion. I remember playing Ark for the first time, and I was talking to my wife about it. I'm like, no, listen, like, I need to build a house, right? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, so I had to chop wood to then build the house. And she's like, okay. I'm like, yeah, but how awesome is that? I had to like gather stone and chop wood and like gather fiber and build structures. And it just felt so immersive. And maybe it was that first person view. You know, you can also zoom out for third. But I just was so immersed in Ark and was absolutely obsessed with Ark. So the fact that it's coming now to Unreal Engine 5, and I think that Unreal Engine 5 is, I think, all of us gamers, we can't wait. Like, next year, you imagine how many games are going to be on Unreal Engine 5 and how great they're going to look. But, Chase, did you ever jump into Ark back in the day?
I was actually early access, and I will give you my honest, brutal opinion. I loved the concept, but, man, talk about bugs. It was a hot buggy mess, and it really kind of harmed my opinion. I was jumping between a few. I was playing Rust, and I was playing Ark, and I was playing all these different types of survival games, and Rust, as buggy as it was, for whatever reason, linked up with me better, and I just felt more connected to it. But Ark, for some reason, I loved the concept. I mean, who doesn't love dinosaurs and, like, you know, being able to upgrade the dinosaurs and jump on them and all this? I mean, that's just that's the stuff of our childhood. You know, it's like we all had those. What were the T-Rexes that like the Dinobots or what were those yes. ones where you like can oh. you remember those where you can like Rimlock. Literally stick lasers on them and like right. yeah, it was just like right along with He-Man and all the other cool toys. I mean, really, that to me was like the arc story, the story arc. But
nice.
But I, you know, I did enjoy it. I just couldn't get past it. I've been meaning to try it again because everybody keeps saying, "Oh my god, it's such a great game now. It's finally fixed." I know they just fixed the Nintendo Switch version, which at launch was absolute trash, and like the reviewers were harsh on it, and rightfully so because it just looked bad. It looked like they just kind of rushed it out just to get it on the Switch. And so, you know, it seems like there's a lot of that turmoil, I guess, behind the scenes in the dev side of things. Because I always think from the dev side, designer side.
Sure.
And it just seems like they finally made right with the Nintendo Switch version. And I think they're finally there. It's at a point now where it looks like it's heading in the proper direction. And I think that's really exciting just as because the concept, my God, the concept was so cool. And it was just so, you know, Coltrane, to your point, it was like it connected so well to be like, oh my god, you could do all this. And even before Valheim was Valheim and like, you know, all the other games that kind of came after, it really did a great job and get and connecting those dots to like both our childhood and then also the wonder of like, we can build what and do this and oh my god, like it definitely had an effect on me, but both negative and positive. So
I get it. One quick thing, too, when you were talking about the development, they are also, you can develop mods for that game and actually sell them for real money.
And did that just happen? Or was that?
They were kind of doing it before. They had kind of a mod program. They were doing it before, but they're kind of reinstituting that. So it's a great thing for developers out there that, because that was a big thing, similar with GTA 5 that they're doing, where people are building these kind of mods. Mm-hmm. And when I was on that Game of Thrones server, like I said, we had these Game of Thrones-esque, we had the big ice wall, we had all this Game of Thrones stuff. So it's pretty fascinating that if you know Unreal Engine 5, if you know Blender, if you know these different dev toolkits, you can build something, sell it on the marketplace in their thing. And of course, Wildcard will get a cut of it. But you can also do this for a living and kind of make some money doing it. So, but Tom cool. Scott, did you guys ever dive into Ark at all? Or was it just Scott. Chase today?
Did you play Scott?
I did not. It was not one of the survival ones that I got around to with all this free time to game that I have, you know? It's just...
Right.
Well, to you...
But hold on. I want to say, Tom...
Oh, go ahead.
When we were talking the other night, when we were actually watching the stream, remember... Mm-hmm. And I said, and you were asking, like, it looks pretty, I'd play it, but I don't, like, it doesn't appeal to me. I don't see it. And I told you exactly what Coltrane said just a minute ago. It's about the accomplishment. That's what makes those survival games fun, is when you and your friends get together, you get to hang out and talk. It's not stressful, but there's still this sense of accomplishment. Like, yeah, we built this house today. We got some resources. Yeah. And now I can comfortably just hang out. It's not, there's not this... Yeah. nagging feeling to play to keep up but the accomplishment is still there regardless of that. So
there was something to the game before. It's, you know, I think both Rust and Ark got this down, was the persistence factor of the world. It was like, from what I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, Coltrane, but you could build, and I was playing in the early alpha, but like you could build your world, leave it, and it would stay there, and then people could basically destroy, or dinosaurs could destroy that. Okay, so it was the same kind of concept. That persistence, you know, where the world just lives, even if you're not living in it, and you know, that is an MMO, RPG, whatever you want to call it, thing that none of the other games have really connected with. I know Valheim kind of had somewhat of that, but like Rust did that really well, where like you felt sweaty palmed, like, oh my god, if I leave this, am I going to get raided? Is my house going to be gone and destroyed? You know, or my, it really felt, you felt that tension of like, okay, it's 10 o'clock, I got to log off. Is somebody going to cover me?
Yeah, you know, it felt real.
Yeah.
And I used to get text messages. I played on a PvP server to start at like 2 a.m. They're like, we're being raided. Everybody get on.
Yeah.
And we'd have to build these turrets and stuff like that, you know, to fight off these enemy guild guys that are coming in to raid our base, you know, wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Wife did not like that, by the way, when the phone starts beeping.
Yeah, PvP sounds fun in those games to me for sure. And so I think if we were on, I think maybe that's why Valheim didn't really you know, pull me in, because it was more of just, hey, get together with your friends on a PvE server. So I would consider playing on a PvP ARC server possibly. It seemed really cool. And kind of just in the periphery, like, I've heard about ARC over the years. It seems like there's always been something going on with the developers and the player base, like some sort of tension. Always. And I don't know if you guys can speak to that. I don't exactly know what's going on, but maybe it's because there's like a rumored, I think, another game they're working on that I don't think is a sequel. I think it's a different game. Do you guys know anything about kind of the next game or kind of the tension that, there's been there?
Maybe Coltrane, you can speak to this, but from what I've been reading, and I've followed the subreddit, there are concerns that they're going to bait and switch. And you know, because right now the game is $15 and everybody's like excited. They're like, oh, it's going to boost the community and all this stuff. But then knowing in the back of their head that there's going to be a new game that's going to be released, whether it's an actual spiritual successor to ARK or it's a totally new game, they don't know if it's going to be ARK, you know. I think it's going to be called ARK, but from what I'm understanding, but yeah, that's the concern right now in a lot of ways, that they're feeling like they might get left in the dust. That's one of the biggest ones so far. Coltrane, I don't know if you know any of the other.
Well, so I have some info here from a source, but this source isn't exactly reliable. So this could be completely made up. So in 2023, it's perfect. That means it's definitely should be spread out there. It's perfect. So basically, from what I hear, is they came out with ARK Ascended. This is the new one, right? So before that, we had ARK Survival Evolved. ARK Survival Evolved, you could have all these private servers that all these different hosting companies could host. You would pay money, you could host a server, and people could do their own servers. The rumor is, and I think this might be true, is that the ARK developers killed all of those servers completely. ARK Survival Evolved is essentially dead. The only thing now is this ARK Ascended. They have their official servers. And then if you want to do a private server, host your own server, you can only do it through this one particular company that Wildcard is sponsoring. And apparently their rates are through the roof. And that's the only way that you can host a server is through this one company. But they also have the official servers. Now, again, this could be completely made up. I don't know. Off in the comments.
That actually sounds about right, what I'm thinking, because I didn't realize they were. I thought this was okay. I'm totally getting it, because I know I remember ARK Survival, and then ARK Survival Evolved, and then ARK Survival Ascended is going to be the new game. But that's crazy with the servers. Yeah. That's
pretty hardcore. Yeah,
I'm seeing those mixed reviews right now on Steam, and
I mean, I think if they would have done it like that from the beginning, I don't think anyone would have had an issue, though, right? I mean, they want to make money off their hard work, right, that they've put in, I'm assuming. And so I get if they're charging like something insane, you know, I can see people having an issue with that.
I think it's like $8,000 a month or something. It's like, no, not that big of a deal. But, no, I'm just kidding.
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, but I don't see a problem with it, but I'm not an old school ARK player. Yeah. So, you know.
And there was an issue in the past where they released a game called Atlas. And there was a lot of rumors that Atlas was originally going to be a patch for ARK, and it's more pirate-based. And then they're like, well, you know what? We could just make more money if we just call it its own separate game. And they did. And they released Atlas. And but it was essentially like kind of like a mod of ARK. It was literally the exact same game, but slightly modded. You know what I mean? So there was some weird back and forth. So there's always been kind of this relationship between players and Wildcard. There's been a lot of back and forth over the years, so we'll see where this goes. But you know, now Vin Diesel, you know, is apparently attached to ARK too. We're gonna be great.
I remember, was it at the Game Awards or something?
The trailer.
I know he was a big WoW player, though, right? He's like a huge World of Warcraft player.
He's a big gamer. He's like one of us. Yeah. One of us. So that's good. So you know, ARK 2 is going to be about family. And, you know, living quarter mile at a time. You know, so it's going to be great. So I think we're going to be all right. Looking forward.
It's going to have cars flying left and right. Exactly. You know.
It's been a long day.
It's going to be insane.
Now, the only other cool thing that I took from this news story is that they went from UE4 to UE5, right? And it looks like it's a success. So that can be done, and it can be done well, it looks like. Now, You know, I don't know how many other MMOs are in UE4. I'd have to, you know, take an inventory on that. But, you know, I know you hear a lot of times in MMOs, people are just saying, well, what if you could just, I know Guild Wars, this is always a thing. Like, what if you could just upgrade the graphics engine? And people are always like, you can't do that. And I'm like, well,
right,
someone did it.
It's not a big red switch that you just like, you know, flip and go upgrade. Yeah, yeah. It's
of course, but yeah. They obviously put in the work to do it, and yeah. I'm sure you know, Unreal Engine. Maybe they're just a step above, you know, with their customization and turnkey stuff. So, anyway.
Yeah, but you're right. There's a buddy of mine that is an Unreal Engine dev. Like he doesn't like, but he knows Unreal Engine 5 inside and out. And when he's been looking at this of Ark Ascended, he's like, oh, I see what they did. They went the cheap route. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, what they did was exactly what you said. They did the turnkey. They did the plug and play. They just did the take your game, throw it in UE5. He said there are so many options that they're doing wrong, that they need to tweak, that they need to master to make it really optimize, exactly.
Scott, what did we say, Scott, the other day when we were watching it? The guy was hitting the rock.
Yeah.
And like, we're like, go ahead, what did we say?
We were like, yes, it looks great, right? But then you get into the meat of it. Like the first mild thing that you're going to do a million times in that game, chop wood or mine rocks or stone or whatever. And it was so janky. Like
the most like the animations basic. From the old game. Yeah. Like they didn't change anything with the animations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you have something like Unreal 5, that is going to be the catalyst for some even more immersion than we normally get. Like the better the graphics get, the more immersed we get. And when you're doing a simple task like mining, is lame as it sounds, that animation matters. Like it connects you to the activity that you're doing and it makes you feel like you're part of that world. So you're like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. I'm going to go mine this rock. And then you get there and then you're just like,
it's like,
you know, it's like, wow, I get to do this a thousand more times. And it's just
totally.
So then the immersion's broken. So it has potential. Obviously, it looks beautiful right from the onset, but I'm sure there's a lot of things that got to be ironed out. I'm not a developer, but I assume there is.
I think there's a takeaway there, honestly, though, because, you know, speaking about New World and going over, you know, the months we've been playing now or month or two we've been playing, you know, that's one thing they nailed is the sound and the connection to the world. It's like when you hit a tree or you hit a rock, that's satisfying. Like that's instant gratification where you're like, I am doing something and it's making an effect in the world. And I'm
collecting. And the animations are smooth, right?
And the animations look great.
They're
and
not
I just
over
wanna,
the top, but they feel
and
right.
I just want to take screenshots of the world and not play the game. I mean, come on, you know, like that's what it is. So it's an interesting.
Speaking of a game with far less satisfying mining, you know, World of Warcraft.
Yes.
Patch 10.2 is on the horizon. And look, it's a big patch. I mean, every time a patch comes out like that, I want to jump in. I want to see what's going on. They're going to have, here, let me run down the list. You know, World of Warcraft, they throw everything in there. You got new zone, Emerald Dream. You got new raid, new legendary, new public events, which I think they're getting better at, the public events. World boss, tier sets, PvP season, Mythic Plus season. I mean, all that stuff. And I'll just go to you, Coltrane.
The resident, I'm exhausted.
The resident
this is why I don't play WoW anymore. That just exhausted me.
Well, we'll talk about all the systemization of WoW later, I think. But Coltrane, the resident WoW raider, you know, ahead of the curve. Mr. Ahead of the Curve here. What are your thoughts on 10.2? Is it something that WoW players are looking forward to? Or is it more of like, hey, we're looking to 11.0 at this point. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, we're excited for 10.2 because this might be the final patch, believe it or not. They are releasing an item in the game called the Draconic Rune, but it's endless. And they always do that in the final patch. So everyone's like, whoa. What do you mean? It's like 10.2, is this it? There's only going to be one more patch? Are we going to have another expansion? Is the next expansion going to be announced? Are we going to start banging these things out? Like, what's going on? So there's big excitement there. 10.2, just look at the metrics. The numbers always go up on a big patch. New raid, new story, new tier sets. You know, everybody's fired up, myself included. I got a raid team. We raid Wednesday nights, really excited, pumped up. We're going to be getting back in there. There was a lull in WoW. Mm. I did your classic switch classes, right? To a little holy paladin. And I love it again. So nice. I'm really excited for, of course, the new raid. The new raid looks fantastic. It looks really, really cool. New tier sets as well, not just like the looks of them. You know, there was a period there during Battle for Azeroth and a couple of things where they got rid of tier sets. Right. Well, why would they ever get rid of tier sets? Because the community was complaining that they're like, well, like the two-piece tier set from the beginning of the patch, the first, you know, at the beginning of the expansion, I'm still using it at the end. And there was all this stuff. It's so funny. The community complained so much about tier sets that Blizzard was like, all right, fine, we'll get rid of tier sets. And the people were like, where are the tier sets?
Oh, you know? My God, of course.
Well, what they did was they did this thing, and then in Battle for Azeroth, where they had this weird armor thing, Azerite armor, and it was supposed to be like tier sets, but it completely backfired. It was just an absolute mess. So they brought back tier sets. They brought back the art. They look incredible. They look amazing. So I think overall, the player base, it's not as strong. Dragonflight, there was a big drop-off in Shadowlands. Dragonflight, big emergence, but there's still a drop-off. So getting people back for this new raid, there's not as much excitement as I've seen in the past. People are excited about the new dungeon, the new raids. But one thing that's kind of telling is BlizzCon is next week. And for the first time, it is not sold out.
Whoa.
It is not sold out. BlizzCon is not sold out. I know this because I have an extra ticket and I'm like, anybody need it? Like, well, I could just get it off the website. Like, there's plenty. Like, oh, like there's, you know what I mean? So it's the WoW is kind of in an interesting
How many rooms
place.
Do you have at your place, Coltrane?
Yes. Exactly.
Party of Coltrane.
Right. Me and Tom need to do a live show from BlizzCon.
That's right. Let's get it on. Let's go, boys.
But I so would, man.
Yeah, just come chill, man. Right? Exactly. Well, we'll just hang out outside BlizzCon and we can go in. Now, and the thing about BlizzCon, though, and so basically, just to talk about the WoW stuff real quick, everyone, I think, is really excited about the new raids, the new dungeons, the new affixes. It's a new season. You bring everything back. Everyone's pumped. Everyone's excited. Now, BlizzCon, there's some big, big news. Big, big news about BlizzCon.
A lot of
Number
leaks.
One, we have the return of Chris Metzen.
Yes.
Chris Metzen has returned to World of Warcraft. Now, this is kind of old news, right? Some people, this was announced like a month ago or a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But you know Metzen's going to get out there on stage. Of course. You know what I mean? You know he's going to get out there and the audience is going to go crazy when he does the For the Horde and For the Alliance, you know, and he's going to ham it up like he does better than anybody. You know, the guy's unbelievable. He's an amazing showman. And also part of that foundation. And a lot of people left Blizzard. A lot of the original crew. You know, a lot of people talk about, classic WoW. That was the best WoW ever was. All those devs are gone. You know, the majority of them. And as retail has gone on, those devs have moved on. Now, Blizzard's also been there's been some scandals. There's been some craziness. But the return of Metzen, people are saying this might be the return to the grassroots, you know, of WoW, you know. So we'll see what happens. I'm really looking forward to Metzen getting out there, making the big announcement. There also was a bit of a leak for the new expansion. Some person said, well, it looks underwhelming, so it must be true. That's what somebody was like, oh, jeez, come on.
I may have seen that quote. Yeah.
Right. Like, come on, guys. Sorry. Come on. Can we be positive here? You know what I mean? Let's be positive.
Never.
I mean, complain what you want about World of Warcraft. I will say, one aspect that I absolutely love about it is the combat. It feels tight. There's nothing like it. You play Final Fantasy XIV, amazing game, but it feels a little loosey-goosey, with the combat. There's something about WoW combat, and it's tab target. It's not action. It's tab target. It just feels tight, man. It feels so great. Yeah. And I remember years ago, it does. And I was talking to a developer about this like years ago. This is like in the Mists of Pandaria days. And they were saying that, Blizzard developed this technology, this tech, and it's trademarked, and it's super secret on how they can keep it so tight with the server and the player. It's this like enigmatic, super secret tech that they invented, that they're keeping it like under lock and key so no other MMOs can somehow know what this tech is.
That checks out, honestly, man.
Yeah.
It really does. Seeing all the games that came and went and how there's always been that sticking point to it. That's like a weird gamer conspiracy theory. I like it.
but it sounds so true though, because I mean, really, that they've kept so much technology under lock and key at Blizzard, and that doesn't sound out of the realm of really, like, that's a secret sauce that they probably have somewhere, you know, deep in the archives of their you know, of their code library. So
I've seen stuff on that before too, like you said, Coltrane, about how the server communicates and when information is sent. And I think that's one of the positives of tab targeting, is you can hide a lot of the latency in the animations and when things happen, you know, can't necessarily in action combat games.
Yeah.
But your point about Metzen, I think it's huge. I mean, I think it's a ray of hope for old school WoW players. And I've seen this in a lot of comments, like you shouldn't expect anything from retail WoW, because to your point, none of the devs are still there anymore, right? Like, it's not the same people who made the game, you know, to an extent. But Metzen,
and the artist,
Metzen is, he's Mr. Warcraft, right? Like, he's the godfather of the lore of a lot of this stuff. Yep. I mean, he wrote almost all of this stuff, you know, back in the day. So, I think that's a cool thing. Now, 11.0 is what I am really interested in. Now, I know we've seen the things, hey, we're going past, you know, the storming seas to the west, and we're going to discover this new area. You know, the leaks have all talked about this stuff. But, you know, none of that is that exciting to me. It's more of, is there going to be any type of soft reset or hard reset? I don't really know. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, and if they don't do it, that's fine. I'm not like, won't be upset about it, but that's what I'm interested to hear. Or maybe are they setting up for that in the near future? Because I think the resurgence in a lot, at least, and I know YouTube content doesn't always tell the full story, or Twitch, you know, Twitch numbers don't tell the full story, but a lot of the stuff is on Classic, you know, that's where the buzz is. It's, you know, I know hardcore only has like one or two servers. So even though hardcore stuff is really fun to watch, I don't think that's where all the players are. You know, of course you want to watch the Asmongold react to, you know, hardcore death compilations. Yes. You know,
it's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yes.
But there is a lot of talk about Classic, and in particular Classic Plus. So taking Classic and instead of replaying it as it was, which I know was a big deal when people wanted, when it first came, now people are like, well, I want them to take Classic and now add things to Classic, because we love the Classic era the best, but what if you could add a new class in the Classic era, or add a new zone
that's cool
in the Classic era as you go on and do expansions? What's your take on that, Coltrane? Are you a Classic player? And or are you more like, you know what, I want retail, I want to see where they go, I'm excited to see what the future is, I don't want to look back? I'm sort of that way myself, but I don't know, what's your take on Classic and maybe a Classic Plus?
Classic Plus seems like a massive slap in the face to the current devs, which I guess the gamer and the player base is like, hell yeah it is, that's right, because you guys all screwed it up, right?
Ooh.
But like, can you imagine, like, I can't see a scenario where they're like, okay, there's been so much talk about Classic Plus, and everyone is so excited about Classic Plus. But just think about this for a second. What you're saying is that this game was way better 15 years ago. So we want you to now create new, fresh content for the game 15 years ago in that, I guess, that rule set and how that was, and not the current game, or add, like, I mean, obviously,
they aren't seriously considering this, are they?
They are. I think they are.
They really are.
I mean, they weren't considering Classic until the players.
Question was asked, like, do you really want to go back? Yeah. They were just, do you really want to go back to the way it was? And everybody's like, yeah, we do. Yeah.
One guy who's now been fired was like, you think you want it, but you don't.
That's quote.
J. Allen Brack.
Or like, here's the thing for me that's attractive. I would be very, very close to playing Classic if they integrated the new models and animations into Classic. Okay. Like, it's hard for me to go back and look at the combat after knowing what exists now. So while I like, and I think personally, I like the community that existed in Classic. That was a real draw to me. Mm-hmm. But to have that's the newer, yes, that's even that's gone in Classic, obviously. So what is Classic? I think it's kind of murky. When to me, Classic used to be the community and the simplicity of the time.
Well, here's
sorry, I took us on a tangent there.
No, that's good. I think to an extent, Classic does get the community back. I mean, you're still running to dungeons. You're still having to find people to group with, right? I don't know. Have they added a looking for group in Tool? I don't think so in Classic. Maybe they have. But here's what just makes the most sense. I get what you're saying, Coltrane, about the current devs.
Right.
They are like, hey, people like the older game better, but the current devs, like we already stated, are not the old devs. So the old devs are sitting back like, yeah, that's right. What we made is better, you know? And the key to it is just like, it's not that people like Classic better. I think they like the simplicity of Classic better. The world is so alive. It's not as segmented by the seasons and the zone moves. You know, the whole world is still alive. And I think the reset of WoW, I just think it's a no-brainer. Like, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. We need to make retail more like Classic, not graphically or, you know, remake all the quests or, you know, anything like that. But just moving forward, I want to have I only want to see 3 buffs and debuffs above my bar, not 17. Yep. You know what I mean? And I want... I don't know. Go ahead, Chase. That's my thought. I just think that's why the reset makes so much sense to me.
I think you really hit a point there. It's the UI. It's the UI UX. It's the experience, and it's the elements that are on the screen. There's too much right now.
There's the add-ons, you know,
and it goes back to like the days of watching, you know, like Josh Hayes playing EverQuest. And literally the old days of EverQuest was literally a tile mess of like, do we want to go back to that? No, because the new stuff feels like that. There's so many new modules and so many unnecessary UI elements on the screen. And then you go back to the old and it's like, oh, this is what it used to look like. And you're like, it's nice. It's everything's got a place. Even if you've got 36, you know, different spells loaded up or whatever, you know, everything has a place, and it felt customizable, but also felt like it was meant to be there. You know, it had purpose. It was well designed. And I think a lot of that came went awry when Jeff Kaplan left, and he left for Overwatch. You know, so I think there was a big shift there when their lead designer, who did their dungeons and he did all of their, you know, design work, and he left for the other game, you know, in within Blizzard. You know, obviously he wasn't working on the UI, but he probably had some effect on that as well. So I think there was a big paradigm shift in terms of how you engage with the game. And that really is what affected, I think, a lot of the older audience. And I know this, you know, there's an element there of like, how do we merge the two, you know, like finding, because there's obviously some great things that are going on in the new. Yeah.
I'm curious, actually, Scotty. So you were a big, you know, WoW guy, right? Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's putting it lightly.
Yes, right? Hardcore, right? What was your last expansion? Do you remember?
I played the probably 4 or 5 months of BFA.
BFA, right. And that's when there was a big drop-off was BFA. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, like, with Metzen returning, with this idea of Classic Plus, does that make you want to come back? Is there any igniting of the fire at all within your belly?
Yeah, man.
Old World of Warcraft?
Absolutely. The only reason I don't play WoW right now is probably because I know that I can't feasibly do it.
Time commitment.
Purely a matter of time. If I had the time,
I am
certain that I would be playing WoW right now. And the prospect of that server, the Classic Plus, whatever, absolutely. It's purely time. That's it.
And do you think Metzen coming back, do you think that that is a big draw for players, or do people really care at this point?
I would wager that most people our age and our bracket have the same restrictions that we do now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure though, if there is people in our group again, that our demo that, that have the time and have been on the fence about coming back to WoW, I can absolutely see how that would spark them to at least perk their ears up a little bit and say, let's see what this about.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point too, about being older now. You know, back when I was playing vanilla WoW, and of course, any vanilla player, any chance we get, we will mention that we played vanilla WoW. Absolutely. Not classic WoW. We played vanilla WoW.
Yes.
All right. Mm. But I remember raiding 3-4 nights a week, and I was on an Australian raid team that raided from like midnight to 5-6 a.m. And I also worked a full-time job at the same time. Like, how like, did I do that?
How?
Right? Exactly. So now I'm one night a week on Wednesday nights from 7 to 10 p.m. because that's all I've got time for. You know what I mean? Yeah. Married now, the job, everything. You know what I mean? It's all crazy. So,
so Coltrane, what do you want to see from 11.0? Does it – I mean, you know, I'll play it regardless because I like to always see the beginning of expansion. It's just super cool time to get to see what Blizzard or any other company has done with their MMO. And so I know you'll play it, but if you – what do you want to see? What would, you know, be like perfect pie in the sky that you're looking for?
Well,
or maybe just what do you think is feasible? Maybe that's a better question. I don't know.
I would like to see the return of 10-man mythic raiding. I know that sounds insane, but 10-mans was some of the it was some of the most fun I had when we had a 10-man raid team, and this was in, I think it was Wrath of the Lich King, or I can't remember which expansion it was, but 10-man mythic, I think, would be amazing. It would be impossible to balance. Like, there's a reason they capped it at 20. You know, there's a reason they did that. But, you know, the raid team I'm on, we've got like 13, 14 people. And it would be amazing if we could just go to 10. So that's one thing that I wish they would bring back, because I do enjoy doing normal, heroic. I want to get into mythic. I want that next level of competitiveness. But, you know, it's wrangling all those people together. I mean, then again, we used to have 40 people, you know, back in the day. You know,
Star Wars The Old Republic did a great job. They went to 8-man and 16-man on all difficulties. You can choose what you want.
Wow.
So you could just bring in 8 people and do the stuff. So I agree. MMOs need to do that in general, is bring down the number it takes for raids. I'm on board with you. But what else would you like to see in 11.0?
One thing I just thought of, fewer people, fewer drama, right? 100%. You know, the more people you add, the more chance. Yeah, well, I guess that's true.
But people are going to
the more people you add, the more craziness could happen. You know what I mean? You could get the bad apple, you know?
Yep.
But as far as the other thing for 11.0, it's – I'm somebody that just, I've always enjoyed WoW. I always go back. I always
like
go
home.
Back to WoW. It is. It's home. Just, and I think that there's a certain MMO for all of us that we always return. It's like we always go back home. Like I say to my wife, and this is, she's heard this for years. I say, all right, I'm done with WoW. I'm done. I've canceled the sub. And she's like, okay, all right. Yeah, give it a month.
Yeah.
I'm done. Yeah. Every time. Sure. And then she'll walk by and she'll see me playing WoW. And she'll be like, are you?
Like, no, I'm watching a YouTube video. I swear. Yeah,
I didn't want to bring it up. But now that you mentioned that, I remember like 2 months ago, you're like, I'm done with WoW. I think it's time to move on. And here we are.
Here we
are. WoW's Anonymous.
Yeah.
You're not alone, buddy.
I know, man. It just happens. And I wish it wasn't a part of me, but it's a part of me.
It is.
And I think, and we're going to get into this a little bit later in the show today. I'm very excited to talk about it. I have a theory of why it's a part of all of us. Oof. I have a really good theory about that.
Well, speaking of which, let's just get into it. Let's get into the topic of the day. I linked a video to you guys from a channel that I've been subscribed to for years. It's Zyback TV, an old school WoW PvP content creator. I remember watching videos back on his, you know, Feral Druid back in the day, dueling Swifty and Soda Poppin' and, you know, all this stuff. And it was just fun to watch. Anyway, he recently put out a video, his most recent video. And just looking at the demographics of his channel throughout the years, because I think he's been on YouTube for 9, 10, 11, I don't know, you know, double-digit years. And so he just made some connections and some interesting observations that the demographic, as his channel has progressed, has started with, like, you know, people in the 18-year-old demo moving to 25. But now his demo is 25 is the floor, right? Up to, you know, it, and I'll get into ours as well in a little bit, but up to like, you know, 55, you know, so you're going 25 to 55 is the demo. And he looked back on his videos for like the past, I think it was a little bit after the Wildstar era. And since that point, he's basically has zero views in the demographic under the age of 25. And so basically, you know, he's just like, look, the demo is changing. He kind of went over some of his thoughts on why, and we'll talk about our own thoughts. But just for the interest of my sake, I pulled up our demographics and we basically are the same. Like, I mean, there's a few blips on the radar. I think in some of our Wayfinder videos, there was a little bit of a drop into the 18 to 24 demo, and maybe a little bit on Terrace Land, a little. But that, and those were even anomalies. I'm talking about maybe 4% of the viewership. So the vast majority for us is gonna is usually from, you know, like 25 to 35, and then we'll also, you know, jump up to 55 sometimes, depending on some of the WoW content. We'll get an older demo, you know, when we do some WoW stuff. So he was kind of spot on. And are you guys kind of surprised on that? I mean, it seems like the demo is aging and we're not picking up any. He framed it as Gen Zers, but, you know, I was just looking at as a younger demographic. It seems like MMOs are not picking up any new players. First of all, were you surprised? And then do you have any theories on why? I'll let you guys run with that.
I mean, I have my opinions.
Go for it, Chase. Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, I genuinely agreed with probably about 80% of what he had to say. And honestly, it's just because I do think there's an element of, you know, I know he said TikTokify. The world is TikTokified now. Everything is short form, you know, that sort of thing. And I think there's an investment side to an MMO. To MMORPGs, MMOs at, you know, thanks. But yeah, realistically, there's this time investment. There's this real hardcore time investment that is kind of off-putting for a lot of younger audiences that may not be like, well, I'm going to get into this 1 week and then this is the game you play. This is the game. And I know growing up, you know, with MMOs and MMORPGs and RPGs for that matter, like that was the game. Like I remember going to a store, buying the game, and that was going to be your game for 2 years, you know, and it was like today, especially in the digital era, there's so much, you know, new shiny. And I think that's kind of the core of the issue with the MMORPG world is right now there's so many new shinies. I mean, there's 50 new games, new MMORPGs, call it what you will, MMO, MMORPG, what have you. But there's 50 new MMORPGs coming out in the next year. And it's like, that is like new shiny all over the place. Like, where do you look? And like, you know, it's like in the digital era where everything is so easy to buy, we're not going to go down to our local, you know, Best Buy and buy the game off the rack. That don't exist anymore. You go to Steam, you go to Epic, you go to and download the game. And regardless if you like it, half the games are free now, you know? So it's like, oh, I'm going to free to try it. Okay, I'm out. There goes your audience. And Gen Z is like very, very particular about what they play, the time they invest in these things, and is it going to be worth their time? And I think more than ever, that's their mentality. And I'm not speaking for them. I'm not going to like, you know, I'm not going to old man explain for them, but I think there's a real, like, you know, you see it today in the quiet quitting, you see it a lot today. And like, and they're not afraid to say, I'm done with this. You know, I'm out. Yeah. Like, this game bores me, or there's too much involvement here. I don't have any friends that play it, so I don't care, you know, like, and I think they're more than ever just to be able to walk away from a game. Whereas we, back growing up, it was like, we bought that game. We invested in that game. We're going to play that game, you know, until the ends. So I think that's the crux of it. But he did go into other things, but that's my high level.
Yeah, I'll throw it to you next, Scott, because when you watched the video, you said to me, you know, he said a lot of the same things that you had talked about, you thought, in your one of your recent MMO therapy videos.
I'm still not convinced that he didn't get my info and watch that video. And
just plagiarize your work. Yes. So what are some of the things you agreed on with him of why the younger generation is not jumping in?
I actually agree with him on pretty much every point. And especially when he talked about community and what's missing from the MMO of there being that camaraderie that I spoke about and people mattering and making friends, like it was beneficial to the gaming experience. But realistically, there's a lot of variables in that. And I think to pinpoint it on one thing, it is that is a difficult task. But like I said in my video, I do think the amount of content that we have today is a big factor. And when you look at a group like he mentioned Gen Z, but even they're starting to get late 20s. Some of them are, I think the oldest ones are 26 or something. Mm-hmm. So they're growing. But so the kids beyond that age and lower there, it's like they have so much at their fingertips that I think the idea of them getting into a game like that is just, it's unrealistic because they have so many things that they want to do. And I know that we all probably feel that way a lot too. I know I certainly do, that I have too much to do, that I just get overwhelmed and end up not doing anything sometimes. But for these people with having all of that at their fingertips, it's a big undertaking. So I think the age group works now because, most of us that are still playing it grew up with the game when it was the main game. It is nostalgia for us now. That's our that's our home that we go back to. Whereas these the generations below us just are like, I just want to play what's fun. There's so many things to choose from.
Yeah.
There's no point in me playing this type of game until, as we've been saying, an MMORPG, or again, however you want to phrase it, begins to have all of those elements from every game, that there is something for everybody of every background to do in a type of game like that. That is the inevitability in my opinion. So, and I know we talked about that a few times.
Well, Scott, it was interesting. There was a comment on the video that I saw where someone said, well, for Gen Zers, social media is their MMO. That is their community. Second that's their life. Content. Mm-hmm. That's their, they're living their second life there instead of a virtual, instead of a video game. But Coltrane Zybek kind of titled the golden era of MMOs from like 2004 to like 2013, 14, maybe right at the WildStar era. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of his argument was kind of like, old MMOs good, new MMOs bad. So I'm kind of hoping you have a little different take on this. I don't know. What were your thoughts when you kind of heard that? What's your take on the modern MMO and why maybe some younger people aren't jumping in? And or do you think there's anything wrong with the current state of MMOs?
I got a wild theory, boys. I got a wild theory here.
Throw it out. Let's go.
All right, you got your seatbelts on? You locked
Jumanji.
In? All right, you ready? Jumanji. All right. So for us older gamers, and I'm only 22 years old, right?
Yeah, obviously. Right. 22? I thought you were like 17.
Exactly. But for us older gamers, we were there at the birth of a brand new genre of something that truly had never been seen before. Yep. And I remember the moment. At the time, I was playing Ultima Online, which was amazing. It was like this top-down view. And suddenly, I got EverQuest. Now, for me as a gamer, I grew up on Nintendo, Super Nintendo, N64, right?
Yep.
Right. So N64, you got Mario. And it's in 3D, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a single-player game. Wahoo! You're just running around, right? Little Mario.
That was really good. That was really good. Thank
you. So you're doing your thing, right? But it's a single-player game, and that's great because that's all there is at the time. You're not thinking multiplayer. That's not even in your realm of possibility. So suddenly, I fire up EverQuest, and it's in 3D. And it looks like Super Mario. It looks like Mario. But I enter a city, and there's all these people. There's hundreds and hundreds of people. And I remember I called my brother over, and I said, hey, brother, get over here. And he goes, what? That's how he sounded. And I said, do you see all these people right here? All these people in the city?
Yeah.
Those are all players. They're players. And he was like, what do you mean? And I'm like, those are players. Every single person you see here is an actual player behind a keyboard. That guy right there that just cast that shield spell, that's a player.
Yep.
And it was mind-blowing. What do you mean? This suddenly is a world. Yeah. This is like, I'm in a town that's full of people, just like real life.
I can feel the magic right now, man.
Sam, yes. You're just getting me. Yeah.
Right? And that was that moment. I was a druid and I had So Please, Spirit of Wolf, and it was a run buff. And I would cast that on players and I would see their corpses on these corpse runs, and I'll get into that in a sec. And I couldn't wait to cast it on them. And they were like, hey, thanks. And I was like, no problem, fellow player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And dude, it was amazing.
It was
a purpose. It was like an actual real feeling.
It was like rotary phone to touch tone phone.
Oh my God. Yeah.
This is insane.
Right. It was blowing your mind.
You felt important.
You felt important. And it was a whole new level. You'd never experienced anything like this. You were interacting with other human beings, but it was in a world and it felt real. Like it was this world. It was this 3D world. And that had never happened before. It was all single player before that. Sure, you could do like split screen stuff and all that. But it was the birth of a brand new genre, the massively multiplayer online role-playing game, MMORPG. Yeah. Unbelievable, right? So I think that all of us were kind of like imprinted in that moment. Like it just suddenly, this imprinted us. And now we were MMO fans because we had never seen anything like this. Ever in our world. And this changed us, our demographic, fundamentally forever. What's the one thing that we've said over the years? When's the next MMO? What's the next WoW killer? What's the next MMO? And there was this amazing string of Dark Age of Camelot, right? And they had realm versus realm. And it was like PvP. And like, wait, I got to defend my territory against these other players, this PvP stuff? This is crazy. I've never even thought about this. Oh my gosh, what if you did this PvP stuff? All these new genres. And like, I mean, Asheron's Call 2, Guild Wars 2, Star Wars Galaxies, Star Wars The Old Republic. I mean, the list goes on of all the MMOs that came out. The thing about it was this, we were at the precipice, the birth of a brand new genre.
Yeah.
Even FPS. Back in our day, we had like GoldenEye, James Bond GoldenEye, right? That was a single player game. The only way we could multiplayer it is we'd do like a split screen with a buddy. So now when suddenly you're playing Counter-Strike and you're shooting against other real players, like, whoa, this is mind blowing, right? So we had a massive change, a fundamental change. We were at the birth of something new. For this new generation, this younger generation grown up, they are growing up with all of this, with multiplayer, with FPS being with all these different players, with all these different games that have tons and tons of players. There's no new... This MMO, there's no imprinting. There's no big new genre. It makes me wonder for young people, is it mobile games? Was that like, oh my gosh, I could play it on my phone. Was it mobile games? I don't think so. I don't know. My 10-year-old nephew, all he does is play Fortnite. For his birthday, he wants Fortnite V-Bucks.
That's it.
Yep. That's all he wants.
Yep.
He even said to me, he goes, I want $100 in V-Bucks. And I'm like, first off, I'm like, $100? You're 10. Like,
whoa.
Yeah, you're 10 years old.
Inflation.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, how do you even know what $100 is? You're 10 years old.
He did the math.
You know?
He did the math.
Exactly. So I just wonder if the reason, and if you look at the demographics, right? So we got imprinted at that age. And what's happened? Yeah. We've gotten older. Right. Yeah, so those demographics are shifting. They're shifting with us as we get older. So the title of that video was, or at least alluded to this, will MMOs eventually die? Yes, because we will eventually die. I know that sounds terrible. That sounds awful. Actually, as
there's
I was saying
headline,
that, I'm
Tom.
Like, that's terrible.
There's your headline.
Yes, exactly. But no. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, boys. We're going to be gaming. We're going to be playing MMOs when we're in our 60s and our 70s. This isn't going to stop. I'm just letting you know this right now. Yeah, we're going to be in the retirement home.
Man, those land parties are going to be legit.
They are going to be insane, right? Exactly.
Pass me the...
Yes.
You got any more of that, Dr. Pepper, boy?
Yes. We're going to be talking to our grandkids and our great-grandkids.
Mountain
Dew. Right. Talking about back in my day, we had to pay $15 a month for a sub. And they're going to be like, like, you used your hands to type? Like, what? You know, it's going to be outrageous. So I just, I think that we got imprinted, and and these younger generation, we were at the birth of something brand new. They MMOs aren't brand new. It isn't something that they've never seen before. They're not imprinted. Why would they? You know, so I think that's why the genre is getting older, because we're getting older.
That's and a great adjective.
And so, and so there's nothing that MMO games can do to bring in young players, you think? It's just, it is what it is.
The culmination of all the great things of other types of games.
I mean, like Scotty said, I mean, that might be the way to do. You mentioned there were some bumps on Wayfinder. You know, Wayfinder is a bit more of a plug and play, pop in, pop out, similar to Fortnite. You know, similar to that, you know, maybe that's kind of the way to go. The thing is, though, is that Zyback made some complaints about MMOs used to be amazing back in the day. And now there's all these systems. You know, back then it was about community. Like, I used to wait and spend an hour or two waiting for a group and, you know, all this stuff. And there was a sense of community. My friends list was like tanks and healers. And you had to be good. But you have to remember that we ourselves are older now. We're married now. We have kids now. We've got way more responsibilities now. We don't have time. Look at Scotty. He'd love to pop into World of Warcraft, but he doesn't have the time. So I think that the genre itself of MMO also needs to age with us because we're the only player base. Anyway, that's my big long rant.
No, that's good. So here's the question, the next thing based on what you said that comes to mind. So are companies going to look and see that, hey, Gen Z is not playing, therefore less investment into these MMOs? Or they going to look and say like, hey, the demographic that first started playing MMOs is still heavily invested in MMOs and actually now in our later years have more buying power and potential to put money towards these games. So do we continue to invest? I think that's the question, right? I mean, and this is kind of my mini get off my lawn rant. All the games we're playing are like 10 years old plus.
Right.
Like, where are the new Western MMOs from AAA companies? Where are they? I mean, I think New World is the anomaly, right?
Yeah.
Backed by the biggest company in the world. You know, so that's good. And there may be some on the horizon, but they're just not here yet. They're vaporware until further notice. And so that's my question. Like, what happened? You know, are they reading the analytics? I don't know. What do you guys think? Is it doom and gloom, or, you know, is there some stuff on the horizon? Who's going to invest in these new games?
I don't feel like there's like a solid answer to that. Honestly, I feel like there's a lot of variability. I think
that's why they diminished over the years, honestly, because Coltrane's they can't got figure.
Me. sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think the reason we're in this position is because it has been diminishing over the years. And the way that they tried to keep it afloat is by injecting microtransactions into everything. And that's what keeps people in the game, essentially. I mean, that's what the app games and some of the newer stuff, like even Valorant, like that's a topic you brought up too. But they all have cosmetic shops. I mean, I know a gamer that's in their early 20s that I talk to every now and then, and she's like, she spent thousands of dollars in Valorant already. I don't know why, but it's crazy. So that obviously has made its way in to mainstream MMOs. So I don't think they have an answer for what they're going to do yet, really.
She didn't see somebody in a cool armor piece standing by the mailbox and was like, oh, how do I get that armor? She's just like, I can go.
I can buy that. Or I can buy something better looking than that.
Right.
Takes a lot of the accomplishment factor out of it. And that, that community camaraderie and awe-inspired moments and things like that. So I don't think they have an answer. I really believe that my prediction is probably up there. I think that new Blizzard survival MMO, whatever that's coming up that they're keeping close to the vest, that's going to be something of the new iteration of what MMOs will become. That might be their new test. to see what happens, because it is diminishing. I don't think it's going to sustain in the way that it is right now.
Chase, what were you going to say? I'm just like bursting. What were you going to say, Chase?
No, I was going
to. I'm sorry, man.
Say,
I didn't mean to cut you off and go into that. I apologize.
No, it's okay. No. No, it's fine. I actually just was going to kind of repeat what Coltrane was saying, because now I feel like this like sense of dread of like, you know, like, oh God, we are Gen X millennials are going to be the ones to die with MMOs. But it's like, I think there's a weird sense of hope, because I see it as the product may change, but I think it's, you know, as much as like Meta wants to make the metaverse and all this stuff, I think that's where it's going to go. You know, what's the book, Ready Player One. Yeah. It's going to get to that point where it's going to transition where, because right now, for a lot of these games, it's more of like a hassle to sit down in front of a computer, you know, and set up a system and all this stuff. I think when it's made easier to get involved, like the phone, with the invention of the phone and then phone games, it's so easy to get in and play a game on your phone, you know, because it's readily available all times, ready to go right there. I think at some point it's going to get to that AR, VR. I don't know if that's going to be the technology, but or maybe even like contacts or what have you, where it's going to reignite that even a real world, like maybe there's like a real world sheen that gets overlaid on top of, you know, the real world. Like I think one experience that I had in the last probably 10 years was the geocaching. You know, it's an old concept, but like Pokemon Go and like there was another one that it spun off of. I think there's an element there that is like, you're role playing as this, you know, like hunter gatherer type, you know, and you're going and capturing Pokemon. You're going to capture points. Like, I think the spinoff from that was another game prior to Pokemon Go. There was another one where you would literally go to geocaches, digital geocaches, and pick up items in the digital world, add it to your little phone book, and then somebody wouldn't get notified. Oh, this guy stole your such and such, you know? So I think that's where it's going to be reinvented. That community is going to be a living, breathing, real world experience versus like sitting in front of your computer, you know? And I think that's where the MMO and the role playing are going to be. You know, it's like, I imagine a bunch of people with like foam swords, you know, like doing the what was it? What's the, you know, LARPing. Running around with foam
LARPing.
Swords. LARPing. Yeah. I think there might be an element, you know, I don't know if it's going to be that, but if like even the geocaching stuff that ignited some excitement in my world where I was like, oh, I was in a large city and I was like, oh, we're going to go over here. And I was exploring and getting out there and meeting people and, I think that might be where it goes. I do.
But yeah, there's got to be some kind of innovation for sure. And Coltrane, before I let you unleash.
No, you're good. I've been unleashing like crazy. I need to be leashed. Dire,
before you go in this dire situation we're in, I want to add to the morbidness. You see these like blue boxes back here?
Yes.
I've figured out the Logitech G600. I don't know if it's going to be made anymore. So every time I see it, I buy it. I have like six Logitech. And in my mind, I'm thinking, how many do I need until I die so I can keep using the equipment I like to play MMOs?
I did the same MMOs. Thing with Razer Mouse. I have a left-handed Razer Mouse. I bought eight of them. I figured each one's going to last 4 to 6 years.
Yep. Yeah.
Same. A lefty?
Yeah, I'm a lefty, crazy. Baby.
Southpaw.
So what that's do you use? Southpaw. IJKL? Or...
Just kidding.
I don't know.
Just kidding, LARPing. I mean, that's just what I'm doing.
So what are your thoughts, Coltrane, on the MMO genre moving forward? What are we going to see? What do you think?
Love what Chase said real quick. And I was going to go with the doom and gloom. I was going to hit you up with something, boys. I was going to be like, oh, it was nailing the coffin, right? But then Chase reignited that fire, because when I did that Pokemon Go stuff and I did it with my wife and it was amazing. We went to these local parks and we're catching Pokemon and we're near like a base or a arena or something, right? And we're meeting other people and we're like kind of like nodding. Like we're like, I see you and you see me, but you know, we're, hey, you know, like, cool. Like, all right. You know, like it was awesome. You know, I'm at like Pendango ordering bread and I'm like catching Pokemon that's sitting on the shelf over there while I'm ordering a number four. It's unbelievable. Yep. But that's a great point. I love that. And there was a base near our house. And I don't know who you were, Lamborghini 47, but they would, in the middle of the night, take back the arena and drive me crazy. One night I wanted to like find out who it was. I wanted to like park out and see who Lamborghini 47 was. Because I don't think they're driving a Lamborghini. I'm just going to say that right now.
Some guy in a 88 Civic.
Yes.
A 15-year-old kid.
Yeah, right. But what Chase is saying is he's talking about a rebranding, a imprinting. You know what I mean? Like there could be that new genre that's going to hit. I saw a video today of Call of Duty. You have your zombie level, right? Where all the zombies are coming, right? Famous, right? In Call of Duty. Well, this was in augmented reality, where he put on these glasses and he was in his house. And suddenly zombies started pouring in through the windows of his house.
Yep.
And he's got these guns and he's shooting at these zombies in his living room. And then it was amazing. And then all of a sudden the wall busted down and this huge boss came through and he was like, and he was shooting. It was unbelievable. And I was
You might not want that game in Texas. I don't know. That's a little scary. That's
true. Right. It's probably not red state approved.
Real quick.
Yeah.
But it blew my mind. And I think what Chase is talking about is brilliant. I think that that could be that new level. And for us that were imprinted so heavily, we're looking for that new type of genre where we don't have to sit down at the computer. Think about it, guys. How basic is this? We have to sit down. We have to use our hands and use a keyboard. We have to use a controller. We can't. I mean, this is going to be in the future so bait. Like, wait, you did what? You know what I mean?
Yep. Well,
our grandkids, our great grandkids, you mean you didn't just speak and it happened? You mean you didn't just look with your eye and you could open up a document and blah, blah, blah? Like, you know, it's just it's just going to be insane. So, but I do think that when the points are being made, and I hear this all the time about, you know, back in the day, it was so good back then. And you'd see a piece of armor and you'd go, man, I wonder how we got that. And one day I want to get that piece of armor, right? I felt that too. I saw a druid in the tier four gear and I wanted that. And I was like, I will do whatever it takes to get that. And to do that, I had to join an Australian raid team that raided four or five nights a week. And I did it. And I got that tier of armor. And the sense of accomplishment was incredible. I felt great. I just stood in Orgrimmar and my Tauren druid. I felt great. I felt like $1 million. But I can't do that now. I don't have the time to do that. In fact, when New World launched.
And people can also just buy that. So.
Well, that's true. But I'm just saying that the game has to adjust because those of us gamers have adjusted. Our lives have changed, so the game itself has to change. I think the reason for Classic WoW and people are looking back, they're not playing it like they used to. We don't have the hours, but it's a nostalgia. It's more nostalgia, I think, than anything.
Absolutely.
Granted, the game is simpler, but we just don't have the time like we used to. You know what I mean? So,
well, let me give us some hope, right? Something to look to.
Yes.
A shining star in the distance. I think there's a lot to look forward to with the MMO genre. For all that we've said, how long have MMOs been made? It is still in its infancy. Like, this genre is still just so brand new. Gaming in general is still in its infancy, I feel like, you know, as to what's going to come. But in the short term even, you know, to your point, Coltrane, there's a lot of features that are really bad from old MMOs, and some of those are being corrected now, and I think that's a great thing. I think small things like Unreal Engine 5, you know, as far as just something that's very close, is going to do wonders for the MMO genre. You know, I think it's less of MMOs were good, now bad, and more just, man, I need to see these companies. I want to see, you know, the Ashes of Creation, Intrepid Studios. You know, I want to see, you know, Amazon doing the new Lord of the Rings MMO that they have.
Riot
MMO could be the a watershed moment. Like, hey, do we go forward or is this it? You know, that's going to be a huge one.
Yeah.
So there's a handful of games that I'm really looking forward to. I know there, like Chase mentioned, there's a sea of games being made, but I look at those lists and I see like five or four. And I think those are going to determine the direction that we go. And so I haven't lost hope in that regard. And now I'm going to debunk the whole argument. Gen Z people don't even watch YouTube. So why are we even talking about this? Right? Of course, they're not going to show up in the demographics. So,
that's true. You know story. What I mean? That's so, true.
But I don't know.
As much as
we're all speculating. Occam's razor, man. Just throw it in there as usual. Jeez. Right.
They're not on YouTube.
I just wanted to say one thing that was interesting was I think MMOs becoming more casual. Everyone hates that. They all get fired up and say, no, that's the worst way to go. Yeah. You got to remember, World of Warcraft was considered casual when it first came out.
Yes, it was.
Compared to EverQuest and all that stuff out there. Back in those days, in the EverQuest days, when you died, you lost experience on your character and you could lose a level.
Yep.
And in addition, when you died, you would have a corpse and you would respawn back naked and you would have to go back to your corpse and you had a time limit. And if you didn't make it back in time, and by the way, your corpse is surrounded by all the enemies that killed you. So you would usually die trying to get your first corpse. Now you have a second corpse, right? And then a third and a fourth. You would lose all of your items. All that armor, all those weapons that you spent months getting would be completely gone. World of Warcraft comes out. Suddenly you die, you don't lose experience. You die, you don't have a corpse. And it was considered, what is this casual? What is this? But it was huge. It was huge. It was so much more. So I'm just saying that for those that talk about how, you know, going casual is bad, if you think WoW was considered casual when it first came out compared to the MMOs at the time. So I thought it was kind of interesting.
Well, and it has to go casual based on where we are now and where the demographic who play, and we need it to be more casual.
We do.
You know, for the most part. So that's great. Mm-hmm. I think there's some positives. Like I said, Riot MMO, Ashes, Dune Awakening.
Yeah, Dune. Blizz
Survival. There's some stuff on the horizon that I think is going to be really cool. They're all kind
of survival games, aren't they?
A lot of them are.
Well, Dune, I'm excited because that's more like a planet side. At least as far as I think. It's going to be kind of like Planet Side 2.
More sandbox, for sure.
I think they're narrowing in on that accomplishment factor that we were talking about earlier. They want people to feel accomplished no matter what they do, no matter how little they play when they come in. And even if that means logging in and chopping trees. I remember in Valheim logging in and chopping trees just to bring it to Rob so he could finish building stuff.
Yes.
And I did it for an hour. But I felt good after I logged up. It's like I got in, I had fun, I did something, and that's that. So
you'd log in and you'd see what he made and you'd be like, oh my gosh, great job. Like this looks awesome. Like, I'll build the wall.
It's a constant feeling of being able to bring that community back and continue to contribute no matter how small it is. And for people who like us who don't quite have the time anymore, any way that we can be part of that community and still contribute, no matter what we do when we log in, will be important. And that will be the catalyst that I believe will keep bringing us back.
Yep.
That's brilliant. I love that. That's brilliant. It's brilliant. Yep. That's it.
Well, I was going to say, Zyback, thanks for the video. I mean, I love getting these conversations going. Yeah. I mean, this is a good one. And, you know, loved all the comments in the video. Hopefully you guys will let us know your thoughts in the comments too. I just want to figure out, what are we playing before we get out of here? What has been keeping us going? Are we still playing some New World, some MMOs? I don't know. Scott, I'll throw it over to you. What has been in your playlist recently?
Well, I finished Mirage. We talked about that last time.
AC
Mirage. Yeah, finished Mirage. Yeah. Good experience. Pretty short game, but worked perfect for what I need right now. I enjoyed the gameplay. Aside from that, little bit of New World, not much. Still having that with the MMOs again becomes a time factor, and I wonder what's the point? Why should I even log in? And then Jason and I just started playing Remnant last couple nights again, and always a fun time. That game just rocks, just really straight up rocks. So fun.
Have they done any updates to Remnant?
They got a big update that came out. A lot of quality of life improvements. They got a new event that's in there.
Pumpkins.
Just basically quality of life, really. Yeah. Like a lot of things. So co-op's great. The game runs great. It's still fun. I'm practically a shill for it at this point. But it's really a great game.
Awesome game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Chase, I'll segue to you then since you guys have been playing Remnant. So
yeah.
How's Remnant going? And then what else have you been up to?
Yeah, Remnant's been great. I love going back to that game. It's just like it is. It's like a warm blanket of like frustration. Because realizing how hard it is to play that game, because we just started a new nightmare run and it's like, oh my god, this game is so dang challenging.
But it doesn't deter you, it inspires you.
Keep going. Yeah. You're like, oh, I could beat that boss. We just did something wrong. We could do that. We got that.
So
we've been playing that. It's been a lot of fun. Two or three days, Scotty? I think that was less. Yeah. So we've been getting back into that. Doing a new run. It's been a lot of fun. I've also been playing a lot of Monster Hunter Rise. There's supposed to be a big announcement coming up from Capcom. So I'm getting kind of warmed up to the idea of possible new Monster Hunter release or a announcement of a release. There's a big potential, possibly an MMO Monster Hunter. That's the word. Yeah, because I know Monster Hunter World is kind of an MMO-ish. It's an attempt at an MMO.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not an MMO. Argue however you want to argue that. You put it in the comments if you feel like it is. And I'm also playing New World. And I think New World, interestingly enough, is kind of, I don't want to say it's lost its luster. It's still fun. I think there's a lot of elements to it that are still fun. But I am kind of picking it up less than I was on the initial run. And I'm played the event. The event was fun, all of that. It kind of has that, like Scott was saying, it just doesn't have that, like, grabs you and makes you want to keep playing it, all the time and like that sort of thing. So I'm okay with that. I have my time, I get in, I play an hour or two and I get out and I'm like, okay, yeah, it was fun, but other than that, that's pretty much been it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not bad. Coltrane, I'm assuming you're making a few preparations for 10.2.
Yes, yes.
So what have you been up to?
A little World of Warcraft, obviously getting ready. Yeah. Now, a month and a half ago, I played one of the greatest sleeper hit games I've ever played, meaning I knew nothing about it. A friend of mine said, hey, you should check out this little beta. I played it, became completely obsessed, and it was called The First Descendant.
Oh.
The First Descendant.
Wait, that's the demo. You played the demo.
Well, it was like a... No,
that's the one I sent you guys.
Was it you?
Yes.
You were the one?
I said, we're totally going to play this. This looks like Remnant with disgusting animations.
Yes.
I think I ignored that.
You did?
Yeah. I think Tom deleted that from his email inbox immediately. But it was amazing. It blew me away. And it was a lot like Warframe, where you play these different descendant characters. And the gameplay was phenomenal. The graphics were phenomenal. And it was the first game I've actually seen where they had group emotes. This is going to sound so silly, but you got your emotes, right, in your game, right? You got your little waves, you got your whatever. Well, they have these group ones where, for example, one was called Firework. So I hit Firework, and my guy is standing there with a cannon. And then there's an outline for another player that's blank, but it's an outline. So another player comes up and it says, press X. So they press X and suddenly that character, they come alive and they light the cannon and fire the fireworks. Yes.
That's cool.
So it's like this group emote. And there was another one where it was like a paparazzi photo where I go to it and I'm posing. And then I see these cardboard cutouts, all these other people. So I went into one of theirs and suddenly I'm posing with them with all this paparazzi. It was amazing. It was called a group emote or something. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. It was fantastic. So First Descendant, it's now they've gone away from the beta. So now I've been playing some Warframe because it reminded me a lot of Warframe. So I've been getting into Warframe, which has been super, super fun. And of course, New World. I'm still hooked on the New World. I just hit 65 max level. And I'm really excited to see what the end game gearing is like in New World. Mm. What's it like to do end game, to do Outpost Rush, to do the PvP stuff?
Yeah.
How do you gear up in New World? Every MMO's got its different way of doing it. So I'm really excited to find out what is New World's way of getting here. So I'm really jazzed for that.
That's cool.
How about you, Tom?
Yeah, same as you guys. I'm still dabbling in New World some. I think my gameplay's been reduced to jump in, mine, chop trees, and hunt so I can, you know, increase my skinning. And that's, I just find that the most satisfying stuff in the game. Like, I don't, you know, the story hasn't grabbed me. You know, I'm not looking to end game as hard. And I'm just like, man, this is just, it's just what they do best. And I'm loving it. So that's usually what I default to. I like that a lot. I'm also pretty heavily into Halo Infinite Season 5 right now. I always keep a shooter, you know, in my mix of what I'm playing. And so Halo has just been the one that's up at the moment. Just love Halo. Huge fan ever since the first one came out, of course. And so, you know, grinding the ranks. I'm up to, you know, Platinum 5, I think, something like that. So we'll get there.
Nice, man.
So that's been a lot of fun. And then, of course, kind of like you guys, like you mentioned Coltrane, you just sometimes you just you want to go home, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, home is Star Wars The Old Republic. You know, we talked about that the other day, Coltrane and I. It was actually my first MMO, which I know I'm a little later to the party, to the party compared to you guys. But I don't know. I just love the game. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I like the mechanics of the game. I'm a, you know, I'm a boomer tab target guy. You know, I'm a fan of it. And so I love it. I love the game. I love when they put out new content. There's new content coming out in December, a new story, patch 7.4. Great. A lot of cool stuff. Mandalorian storylines going on with Shay Vizsla, which is really cool. And then a new PvP season, November 7th. And I'm obviously a huge PvP guy. And so still going strong after the move to Broadsword online games, which I'm really happy that they are going this direction. I know there's a lot of fears that, hey, we're going into maintenance mode like Ultima and Dark Age of Camelot, which is the other two games that Broadsword has right now. But it seems like they're all steam ahead. And, hey, I'm looking forward. Are they going to do an 8.0, a big expansion? That's the next thing, the next question that's up in the air. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, you know, I'm going to go ahead.
A funny thing about Star Wars The Old Republic, you mentioned that the other day, and I was like, oh, I should jump in with Tom. That'd be a lot of fun, man. And then I thought, maybe I'll see if there's any kind of like a skip or like a catch-up level so we could play together right away. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. Then I'm going to miss all that great story. You know, all 100%. Those great character stories. And it's funny, with Star Wars The Old Republic is one of the only MMOs where, for me, it's all about the story. And the different character score.
It's a good point. It's a single player game and an MMO like wrapper like that.
Yeah.
And you know, I totally forgot to add that because I did pick up with Tom to pick up.
Me and Chase played one night last week. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. That was fun.
What was it like, Chase, jumping back in? Was it like, did it seem dated to you or is it fun?
It did seem a little dated, but it also, it definitely felt good, like in terms of like reconnecting with a story, kind of picking up where I left off. I had completely forgotten. It had been 9 years, Scott, since we had played, I think.
Yeah.
So it had been a long time. My character was what it was, and you know, I think just getting Chiralis. Back in. And, I got to rename my character, which is great.
Bye, Chiralis.
Vaxus
Kilgannon.
Vaxus Kilgannon. I like that. That's a throwdown to my Coheed and Cambria fandom.
It's a good mercenary name. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm super happy with myself that I maybe subliminally got everyone into New World through messages, you know, on the Discord. So
that's what Tom does.
Star Wars The Old Republic is my next target. Maybe
here we go. Next week, we're all going to be talking about.
We're all going to be on speeders, you know,
Just give me two. We just played 2 weeks and y'all can delete it again.
Is there like a new mount they're giving away, Tom? Is that why you're trying to get us?
I'll buy you any mount you want. You just tell me.
Anything you want, Scott.
Anything.
Every time I've come back to play, Tom's I got like billions me a of full credits. Set of gear or something. I don't know. He
Oh man. Well, thanks,
the
guys.
The secret to older guy gaming: get your friends to do all the shit, and then when you go back into the game, they just give you stuff.
Free stuff. Yeah. It's a good strat.
Oh, it's so true.
Man, well, this one was fun. Thank you guys, first of all, for joining us. This was awesome. Thanks everyone for watching. Like I said, join us the conversation in the comments. Let us know your take on MMOs, what you're playing. Discord. Even better, Scott said, jump in the Discord and we'll have the conversation there. Come play some games with us. Just hang out with the guys. Link down below, of course. Also, link for Chase's channel, Unboxing Tech Meets Outdoors channel. Super awesome. Chasing Horizons. Go check that out. And, you know, for Coltrane, go check out some Azeroth Public Radio episodes from old back school. In the day. So good. Or check out the upcoming Coltrane Storytime YouTube channel. Actually, I'm kidding. I don't know. maybe one day Coltrane will get some, something on YouTube going. But anyway, guys, that was it. Thanks for joining us for Bad 'Cause Dad podcast. And we'll see you guys next time. Later, everyone.